This is episode 268 of the Flip Empire Show with Alex Pardo.
Welcome to the Flip Empire Show, bringing you the interviews, strategies, and insights for smart real estate investors. Prepare to dive into the minds of real estate's heavy hitters and gain the cutting-edge expertise you need to scale and grow your real estate empire. Your success and freedom starts now with your host, Alex Pardo.
Hey, my friend, how are you? This is Alex with another masterclass here where I'm going to be interviewing Will Denker. And so let me kind of set the groundwork for today's podcast episode. And this is going to be, I'm going to go out on a limb and say this particular episode, as far as the content and the story and the direction we are going in, is quite different from a lot of the other masterclass. Usually we've had a lot of people on here that have multiple businesses or that, you know, have scaled their business. They're doing a lot of volume. We talk a lot of marketing. We talk systems. We talk team building. And I love that. I've learned so much from those particular episodes and from just having the good fortune and benefit of interviewing just such sharp minds. And today we have another sharp mind that gets into his story. However, the conversation isn't about scaling up. It's actually about scaling down in order to live a more happy, fulfilled life and to stay true to your vision, the vision that he set out for his life. And so, you know, you're going to hear Will's story, how, you know, a couple of years ago, he had a team of 8 to 10 people and they were doing a lot of volume, but he just wasn't happy. He wasn't fulfilled. There was a lot of complexity in the business. And he wasn't, to use his words, he wasn't operating in his lane. And, and so he completely scaled down. It's him, an outbound caller, and his partner. And now they have no overhead. Basically, they don't do any marketing. They're doing 3, 4, 5 deals a month. They're making a lot of money. They're having 6-figure months. And he's more happy and fulfilled. And so, you know, we talk about his journey. And then we do talk about the fact, I said, you know, Will, you're not doing any marketing. How are you getting deals? And he reveals two things he does to consistently do 3 to 5 deals a month and make a lot of money in the process. So with that, I'm excited to jump into this podcast episode with Will Denker. Will, how's it going, my friend? What's going on, buddy?
Good. How's it going?
It's good, man. Everything is great. And it's fantastic to have you on the show, man. I know you and I connected and a while back, and you were kind of sharing some of your strategies with me about tapping into your self-directed accounts and just some creative strategies. And dude, from everything I've heard about you, from a lot of mutual friends that we have in the industry, you've been involved in well over 1,000 transactions, and we'll kind of touch on your story here a little bit. But I think I want to kind of whet the appetite of people listening. What I really want to kind of deep dive with you, Will, is I know you're a master at, really hitting on people's pain points when you meet with sellers, figuring out what's important to them, why they're interested in selling, and then crafting an offer and a solution going above and beyond for these people to get deals and to do the types of things that most other investors don't do in your area. That matter of fact, we were just talking offline before we jumped on the podcast here, and I was kind of like, man, just, don't shoot all of your bullets here. Like, people need to hear what you're doing and how you're doing it, because I'm going to shut up in here in a second here, but marketing has gotten very challenging for people lately. At least that's a lot of the conversation I've been hearing. Direct mail response rates are down. Cost per leads are going up. People are having to spend more to get deals, and you've kind of taken a different approach. And so before we kind of dive into the meat and potatoes of the episode, just kind of briefly tell people who you are, how you got started in this business, and then, what the business looks like today for you.
Sure. Okay. My name's Will. I've been wholesaling probably over 10 years. I've done well over 1,000 deals, wholesaling properties. Got started a while ago, and I wanted to get into flipping. And so I actually sold my house and got an apartment, and I used that as seed money to buy my first deal. I ended up selling it to the tenants. I didn't have to do any rehab or anything like that. And I was in and out. And I was like, that was very eye-opening right there. I'm like, wow, did my second deal. Once that closed, I was hooked at that point. And I started wholesaling at that point. I started learning about it, what it was. Back when I got started, they didn't have GPS and Google Maps. I mean, literally, I was driving to properties via key map. but got started, just kind of kept learning. Did well in the beginning, started learning about marketing, postcards, and then the internet and the pay-per-click, and then it's completely evolved. So I've done all the different types of marketing.
Yeah.
To today is basically, we just do skip tracing and get referral leads. So I've had the large company employees, high overhead. I basically transitioned year before last, just said, you know what? When I started working with Lurie, the co-founder of Skip Genie, we started closing skip tracing deals, and we literally, you know, would close two deals a month and just have record months. And I just kind of talked to him. I was like, man, we can just focus on this. It was just unbelievable the fees that we would get. It was crazy. And that was the 80-20. I said, man, I let all the other stuff go and said, let's just focus on this.
Yeah.
And that's what we did.
You know, it's so interesting that the conversation is going in this direction. And I'll tell you why. I kind of want to just hit a pause on something you said and share some thoughts with you. So I was recently having a conversation with a couple of guys that have pretty large operations. You know, like I have a small team of seven. And these guys have anywhere between, 12 and 20 employees. And we were talking and you know, we kind of had like a moment of just clarity, and we were, I forgot how it came up, but you know, one of us said to, I think somebody else mentioned, they said, man, have you thought about the fact that what if we just completely scaled back the operation? You know, what if it was just, you know, us and a couple of employees, or maybe us and an assistant and maybe one other person? We could probably do maybe not as much volume as we're doing now. We probably wouldn't do as much volume as we're doing now, but we would take home more, and we wouldn't have a lot of the brain damage in the process of, you know, just everything that comes with like just running this type of operation, right? Because it's a simple business, but there's a lot of moving parts to it. And the 80-20 conversation came up, and you know, that seed has been planted in me. And so now, that's why I'm excited about having you on to hear your thoughts. I have challenged my team with, how do we not necessarily have to mail more and do more marketing and spend more money, but how can we take what we already have and just get better and squeeze more juice out of that orange so that we essentially do less but make more? You know, focus on just higher quality, better deals, not necessarily having to, you know, continue to mail, process all these leads. And so I kind of want to hear your thoughts, because it sounds like you were ahead of the curve about a year to 2 years ago, and what that has done for you and your business.
It's completely changed everything to where I have time, I can go travel. I had it before to where something would go wrong, I'd have to jump back in. I got tired of having to jump back in. You know, with the business, I mean, there's tight months that you got to, you know, cover overhead. The overhead's high, and then you got to do marketing. And marketing didn't quite do as well this month as you thought. And then you got to repay all of that. That time and energy and that stress level really weighed on me, and I wasn't having an impact. That's my biggest thing: is I wasn't being fulfilled, and I didn't have an impact. So it was a challenge to kind of step away from that. And one of the things was, the defining moment for me was, there was a property that we were actually selling. We were wholesaling it. I think it was $150,000. And I was like, wow, man, this would be a great IRA deal. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I can't do it with my IRA, because we need money in the business to pay all the employees and everything else.
Yeah.
And that was a big eye opener. I was like, man, if I just did a couple of these deals, you know, that's going to make a bigger impact in my life. And our guys then, you know, just feeding a big machine.
Right.
And so I talked to Lurie about it. And that's when I started scaling back and, you know, just really fine tune it. Cause we have one caller that does calls. Lurie does the list, provides it to the callers. He's great at that. The data, he's amazing at it. The person gets them to, quote, raise their hand. They're interested in selling. Once they do that, it comes to my plate and I'll take it, close it. And that basically consists of our wholesaling team.
Incredible. So let me just kind of hit the rewind button here a little bit. Prior, this was about what, a year? You said a year to 2 years ago?
About 2 years ago.
Okay, so about 2 years ago. How big was your team at that point, just so I have some context?
Oh, we probably had 8-9 people in the office.
Okay. So you had
high overhead and yeah.
What do you mind sharing, like, what, just so I have an idea, what kind of monthly overhead, like what was your monthly nut? What was your break even on your overhead?
It was probably 40, 50 grand, depending on what we did with marketing. We tried different different things that didn't cost as much for marketing, but it did require a lot more time. Mm-hmm. The business to business, working with realtors, things like that. It was more time and energy up front as opposed to cost. But so we did some of that, but probably 40 to 50 grand.
So was it the fact that you were, because it kind of sounds like at that time you were a little bit maybe on the income roller coaster. You had some really, really good months, but then you had some, like you said, sometimes things get tight. You got to cover $40,000, $50,000 monthly nut just to keep the lights on. And was that what started to ultimately like kind of point you in the direction of just completely scaling back? Was it the fact that you kind of had these highs and lows, or was there something deeper where you're just not happy with building the business to that point?
It was several like really deep things. Number one is the management to me, and this is just a me thing, you know, and I know people, as I struggled with that. And so being in CG really elevated a lot of those things and gave me the tools, but that's not my lane. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like I'm kind of the visionary, not the implementer. And yeah. So I had to be realistic with it. And so like wanting to have the business for freedom, okay, great. You know, freedom to where you walk away. Well, do you ever really walk away? Okay. Well, who in the business has really, quote, walked away?
Yeah.
Go implement what they do. And when you look around, there's a lot of people that, you know, you can't read everything on Facebook and all that kind of stuff of the successes, because there's prices that people pay for that. Not to say that's bad, you know, but I've stepped back and now I, quote, have a job, but it's a freaking awesome job to where I can take a week off. You know, and do these different things. When I had the business, there was way too much to do and I couldn't. And I'm on that treadmill. And so losing my dad was another one. You know, it's like life is passing you by. I've been doing this a long time. And so I literally sat down, spoke with Sean McCloskey, also working on the vision. Yeah. Okay, if I want freedom, what does freedom really look like and what does it really cost? Yeah. And so at that point, I literally sat down and broke it down. And it's like, okay, the business, is it going to give me freedom? Or is this thing I do with owner finance notes or buying this? And I looked at it, and I was like, holy cow, that gives me the same result and it's way easier. Okay. So, I, you know, part of that, I had an exit plan and that's what I'm executing now. So
you just mentioned, Will, one of my favorite people, Sean McCloskey. He's had a big impact on my life as well and kind of helping me about a year and a little bit ago. I met with him and he really helped me kind of hone in on my vision. It's something I need to, you know, it's a living, breathing document that you just continue to work on to make sure, because things change, right? Your vision will change from time to time, depending on your priority and what's going on in your life. But man, this is a fascinating conversation to me. And I'll tell you why. It's, you know, usually people get into business and they want to grow a business for freedom. For you, you found, and I can relate, you know, especially to a certain degree, I can definitely relate that sometimes the business just gets so complex. We allow it to get so complex and there's so many moving parts and your stress levels go up and you find that you're just not having as much fun or you're just not fulfilled. And yet for you, did it kind of require a mindset shift that, for me, maybe I don't own this business and I don't have all these people, all these employees in place, but what's the point if I'm not happy? Let me just kind of go back, because, man, you know, I think back when I got started in this business for probably three years, I didn't have anybody. It was just me. And I was doing a couple deals a month and I was making a bunch of money and life was good. And, you know, and it's funny, you know, so sometimes the business will produce the same results, but I got more management and more overhead and, you know, you go through these ups and downs. And so, talk to me a little bit about what it required for you to kind of change your mindset about, okay, I'm okay if this is a high paying job, as long as I'm happy and fulfilled and I'm living my vision.
So it start with the end in mind. It starts with the vision. So if you don't have the vision or the end in mind of what you want, you're never going to change what you have right now unless it becomes painful. So with the vision, and just like a homeowner, if they don't have a place they're going to go to, they're never going to sign the contract to unknown. If they really don't know where they're going to go and they're scared, they're going to fight for top dollar. And it's kind of the same thing in the sense of like me creating that vision, not only just having the vision, but very, very, very specific of what I'm wanting, why I want it, and what it costs.
Yeah.
So once I had that vision, then it gave me something to look at where I was based on the business of stepping away. And then that's where wait a minute, I'm really going to step away to this other thing. Well, then you have identity to come up. Well, wait a minute, I'm a wholesaler. I need to do this. Well, what are people going to say? What about, like, you're letting the business go, but what are people going to, all that stuff runs through your head.
Yeah.
And you literally, it's like, it's funny because it still took 90 days probably for it to kind of me to realize it and then kind of be okay with it. Subconsciously, I was pulling for it. Yeah. Now at this point, I could care less.
Right. So it sounds like you had your identity wrapped up with the fact that, you know, you're a business owner, you're an entrepreneur. And by the way, you still are. Just because, you know, you're the one out there meeting with sellers, like, man, if that's what you love and that gives you fulfillment, I don't see you as any less of an entrepreneur or business owner than when you had 8-10 employees, at least just in my eyes.
Right. Yeah, thank you for that. But yeah, and it's not. It's just I'm doing a more impactful path is the way I kind of see it.
Yeah,
yeah. I have way more impact on the sellers today than I did before.
Sure. And I think for people listening, you know, what I'm hoping you take away is there isn't a right or wrong. It's just what's right for you. And I think the advice that Will just shared is, you know, a lot of people just, they think they know what they want, but when you kind of ask them, what do you really want? You know, they kind of stumble and fumble their words. And you know, sometimes people spend more time planning a vacation or planning like where to go to dinner than they do on their life and their vision and what they actually want it to look like. And, you know, what I have found in my experience, Will, I'm guessing you would probably co-sign, is when you really get clear on what your vision looks like and what you want your life to look like, for most people, it actually costs a lot less than what you think it costs to live your life. Sean McCloskey made me realize that, and it was like kind of an eye-opening moment for me.
And yes, I agree with that 100%. And it's also, when you have a vision, it gives you a tool, a test to what to say yes to, but more importantly, of all the things you can say no to.
Yeah.
Does this fit my vision? Does this get me closer to it? Yes or no, it doesn't. Well, now it's easy to say no.
Yeah.
If you don't know what, you know, your vision is, you take it all. And then, you know, then you get bogged down. And it's the same thing I do with leads. You know, I don't close every lead. No lead left behind. Oh, I leave them behind in droves. You know, but that's not my ideal client. My client is the one that I can have the biggest impact on that needs help and everything else. And I can have value. That's what I go through when I go through leads.
I think a big part from what I'm hearing, a big reason you're so successful and you're feeling more fulfilled and happy now is because you're also not just chasing the money, but you're leading with where can I have the biggest impact and how can I help these people?
Yes.
And I know that sounds very cliche, but I think that that's a big part of why you're so successful and, more important, why you're just happy and more fulfilled.
Yes. You know? All around. It's just, and you have to be, you know, congruent with all things in life and, you know, but yeah, it's definitely 100% my zone. That's where I'm at, you know, I'm at my 10 for sure.
Yeah, that's amazing. So before we kind of head down, you know, more X's and O's of, you know, your 80-20 and kind of your sweet spot between skip tracing and referrals. For me, man, this is fascinating conversation. I'm hoping people find a lot of value in it, but how did you finally like rip off the bandaid or pull the cord on your business? I mean, was it kind of a slow process or did you just like walk in one day? Like talk to me about what it takes to go from having a team of 8-10 people to, at that time, I'm guessing you basically just said, hey, I'm going at this alone. Like talk to me a little bit about that transition.
So I remember talking to Larry and I said, hey, let's just close these. We had a couple good leads come in and I said, you know what? Let's just take and close these things ourselves. That was number one. We did that in a week. We didn't even contact the team, so to speak. We just boom, 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 knocked it out. Number two, it was a test. We weren't comfortable giving it to some of the team members to make sure that they would follow through on it. And so some of that's the management, giving the people the tools and things like that. But there was a couple instances like, well, I emailed them three times. They never responded. Pick up the phone and call them. So it was a little bit of that was there and we weren't as confident. And so that was part of it. So when we went through and closed it, boom, with, you know, lickety split, it was very eye opening. It's like, you know what? We need to shift. Yeah. And so I don't really remember how the shift, a couple of people would leave and then we ended up letting the remainders go kind of thing. And then it just kind of, you know, just kind of happened and we never replaced people as they left.
Okay.
That probably transitioned 60 to 90 days, you know, but it was kind of a test to say, okay, we did it on our own. Okay, do we need the team? And it was a do we need the team test, I call it. Well, yeah. We closed two or three. I was like, dude, that's it. It was like night and day difference to me. So yeah. And it just closed that door and that was it.
Do you think part of the challenge at that time, if you can kind of, you know, put yourself in your shoes 2 years ago, did you just feel like you didn't hire the right people, or maybe you just didn't have the right people in the right seats? Or was it just, you know, no, you just felt, hey, nobody's going to, you know, treat these leads the way I would?
It's, you know, it's a combination of a lot of things. So the growth that I learned is you do, number one, have to have the right people in the right seat. And you have to give, the other part is as an entrepreneur, I'm like, go, 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 charge, charge, charge.
Yeah.
You know, and then you expect that from your employees. Your employees are employees. They're not entrepreneurs. Right. They're not going to hard charge like you do. They're not going to hit it hard like you do to the same thing. So you have to give them enough tools to where enough is enough. It's not going to be what you do, but they're employees. That's why they're an employee. Yeah. And we all try to find people like ourselves. If we found somebody, they're not going to last anyway because they're entrepreneurial. They're going to go off and do their own thing.
Yeah.
So that was a big one. Number two, training, setting expectations. You have to have defined very specific systems in place, and then you have to monitor and make sure that they follow the systems. A good employee is going to follow a system and not do stuff like we do off the cuff as entrepreneurs. Oh, you do this, da, da, da. You know, where's your documentation? Where's your system in place? And a lot of times, you know, I'm the first one to tell you I'm a system buster. You know, I've had people put systems in my personality. I end up breaking it. That probably doesn't make me a good manager, you know, if I'm doing those type of things. Mm-hmm. So it's having the right people, the right bus, having really good training in place, and then training to replace those people, because life happens. People are going to leave, and you can't have it be disruptive to your business, you know. And it's all of that. Those are systems and pieces and things you have to put into place. That's what waned on me, because that wasn't my zone.
Yeah.
And so I realized that I've been through that with hiring people and getting rid of, but that it's just not my zone. And I'm okay with that. I've got a good zone. Okay. Get over there. You know,
what I'm hoping is really jumping out at people, you know, is the fact that you're very clear on your vision and what you want, but you're also very aware, like the self-awareness you have about what you're really, really good at, what Dan Sullivan would call your genius zone, or what others would call your unique ability. It sounds like you've really wrapped your arms around that and you've doubled and tripled down on it, versus before when you were the business owner, the manager, it just wasn't you. You know what I mean? And
yeah.
Again, that didn't make you right or wrong. It just, hey, that wasn't your talent, your ability. Your ability was in other things. And you followed followed that path. And again, I think that speaks to why you've done so well. And ultimately why, man, people want to make money. But what I find is that people just want to be happy. They want to feel fulfilled and they want freedom, you know, whatever that looks like for them.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So how many hours were, when you were the business owner, and then we'll kind of transition into the X and O's, how many hours were you working then? And then kind of juxtapose that, like, how was life different 2 years ago versus what it is now?
Wow. I mean, I was in the office every day, going to appointments, you know, always looking at properties, evenings, you know, that person needs something, boom, you're there. You know, because I call it like the slice, the impact. The one little impact can be when you're talking to a seller, the minute you drive over there and you can sign the contract, you get the deal. That could make or break your deal, whether you get it or not. I didn't like that. And man, it was always a million things to do, working 9 to 5. Today, I work out of my home office. I haven't been to the office in probably like, you know, 90 days maybe. I just met one of my guys and picked up the mail. And so I literally work from home.
Yeah.
It's a lot more flexible. I'm not inundated to where I just, you know, it's completely different, you know, because I'm not inundated with leads, sales training, need to do this. So, and I've got personal time to where I go out now and I travel. But before, no way, couldn't happen. You know, I can't be gone for 4 days. You kidding me?
Yeah.
And so now it's like, you know, I plan on taking every month, taking a trip. Starting in January, I just took a trip to San Antonio for like four days. So, you know, I'm, it was unbalanced to me. And then now it's swapping the other way.
Yeah. Yeah, that's great. And so awesome. can you recap again what your team has gone from 8 to 10 people to now? It's three of you. It's you, Larry.
We have Larry that queues up the calls. We have one caller, and then the property comes to me and I close it.
Okay, got it. And so you're handling like the transaction, like you're handling acquisitions, dispositions, and the transaction coordinating side of it?
Yep. I get them from signing the contract to closing. Larry helps sometimes with that, but mainly that's my side.
Okay. That's what I do. Got it. And you're working less doing it?
Oh, yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Okay.
Compared to the office? Oh, my gosh. The one little thing that would blow out, it's like, yeah, anyway, that's...
I got it. We got it. So how are you, obviously, you know, when you scale back the team that much, it's going to be difficult to, you know, the kind of volume that some of the guys, you and I both know that they're doing 50,000 direct mail pieces a month up to 100,000. I mean, obviously, you know, with a small team that's challenging to process all those leads. So what you guys have decided to do is kind of flip the script and say, well, and I'm not putting words in your mouth, like, correct me if I'm wrong, you're not doing a whole lot of marketing or mailing, but what you're doing is you're figuring out where the sweet spot is and just working with it sounds like you've gotten very clear on your seller avatar and you're just focused on targeting those people.
Well, and yes, for Skip, that's what we target. And then, when they call, I interview, you know, is this somebody that I can help? We don't do any marketing at all. And I probably haven't now for, I don't know, maybe it is 2 years that I have not mailed anything.
Wow, that's amazing. Okay.
So we do basically 100% Skip, and then we get referrals.
Okay. What leads are you, buying a list and then skipping those, or how are you getting the leads to Skip?
Larry does that. He processes all kinds of different data and things like that with different lists. Mm-hmm. I don't even know. I'm kind of not even in that conversation. He knows what to go after. He'll test different lists.
Yep.
But that's more of a Larry question. That's his forte. I don't even know what it is until that person raises their hand. They want to sell. I just take it from there.
Okay. Got it. So your caller, they're somebody that they're handling, they're just doing outbound calling, or are they doing any inbounds?
They only do outbound calls. They call if the person's interested in selling, then it comes to me.
Okay, fantastic. So talk to us a little bit about Skip Tracing. By the way, I totally don't want to assume that there's people listening that maybe don't even know what Skip or Skip Tracing is. So if you can just kind of quickly explain what Skip Tracing is, and then talk a little bit about, you know, why that's working so well for you, and maybe some strategies or some tips that can help people when it comes to, you know, Skip Tracing, and then what to do when those calls come in, and how to really, you know, some of the things you were sharing with me before we started recording were really valuable that I was hoping you could share with the audience as well.
So, Skip Tracing is basically, as an example, if I'm driving a neighborhood and I see a vacant house, and so I would actually go to Skip Genie, I'd go to HCAD, find the person's name and their home address, and then I would type that into Skip Genie and you get phone numbers. Mm-hmm. Reach out to them. Hey, I was calling about your property at 123 Smith Street. I was calling to see if you'd be interested in selling. And then if they say yes, boom, you just take it and close it like a lead. Mm-hmm. So some people will call from lists, different lists, things like that. We kind of do basically the same thing, but in a nutshell, that's basically what it is. The reason I like it so much is, there's a lot of different properties that, like, for instance, one property that, you know, we reached out to the person, we talked to them. Hey, you know, would you be interested in selling it? Oh, well, yeah, that was my dad's house. We don't have it anymore. Really? So did you sell it? He goes, no, we just told the county we don't want it. Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. Well, that doesn't really convey ownership. You actually, you know, still are an heir. If I could get you some money for the property, would that be okay? Well, yeah, sure. And we close the deal. That's why, and it is, I guess it's called, you know, slicing those little things. A lot of people scale this thing, and that person, yeah, no, we don't have it anymore. Oh, okay, click. You know, they don't take it further, you know. So it's those little bitty things that make or break a deal. You know, for me, that's why I like this side. I stay involved. That one little piece, you know, well, how did you get rid of it? Well, you told the city we don't want it. Ding, 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 ding.
Well, I think what it speaks to what you're saying, Will, is, you know, people, when you're on the phone and when you're face to face working with sellers, you know, you got to be an active listener and you got to really listen for the possible motivation. Sometimes not just accept the surface level answer, but you got to get really good at asking questions. getting the conversation going, getting these, you know, building rapport with these people and getting them to open up about what's really going on. And I love that you said that, like, obviously, you know, in that particular example, well, this was a seller that just didn't care about the property. They were just willing to give it back to the county. And you're like, you educated them. It doesn't really work that way. Would it be possible to get you some money for the property? So I like how you framed that and, you know, ended up closing a deal like that. With these people, you know, one of the things that our outbound caller gets is we get a lot of objections like, oh, well, how'd you get my information? I'm just kind of curious how you guys diffuse that and handle that objection.
Oh, well, when the minute they ask, how did you get my information? They're scared. What list am I on? And so, well, we did some da-da-da-da-da. So I just address the pain point, the elephant in the room of what they're thinking. And I always put myself in their shoes. Well, how did you get my information? Don't worry. You're not on any mailing list or anything like that. Diffuse. We just looked you up and we're interested in buying the property.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then all of a sudden it goes away. So that's why they're asking. It's like, what list am I on? That's what's going through their head. Mm-hmm. Don't worry. And so I just address it. That's what we say is like, look, don't worry. You're not on any list or anything like that. We just looked you up. We're interested in buying the property. And so I don't ever stop there. I always ask the next question that they answer. Mm-hmm. Or we answer. And then they focus on that. And then, you know, then you carry on the conversation.
That's right. Got it. So right now, 100% of your, so you do no marketing, 100% of your deals come from basically outbound calling leads that you guys have skip traced. And then you also talked about referrals. What is your referral process or system look like? Like, how are you going out and sourcing referrals?
So every time we buy a house, they get a thank you card. So number two is I'm not actively going and getting referrals. They just come. So the reason they come, you know, it's multiple things. It's so we have one client that referred us to somebody. Jan referred a client. That client has referred us four houses that we bought. So number one, there's generally no competition with the referrals. When we have a referral, boom, it's just they go with us. Number two, it's generally like a move or something that we did that impacted that client. And then they have a friend that had the same situation. Hmm. So of the client that we moved, every referral, you know, three or four deep, we've moved all of them. So what does that mean? It's like when we get there, hey, where are you going to go? We're going to go over to this house. And then I spend, you know, 10, 15 minutes. Well, how are you going to get there? You know, when I look and sit with a client, the first thing I want to do is make sure that if they get moved and wherever they go, are they okay for a year? And if they're not, how can? And that's what I work. That's why I find the problems that can come, you know, pop up. Even if they don't have enough to pay rent, you know, where they walk away with 12, okay, how is there a cheaper place we can find? $600, that's $7,200 a year. All right, how can we get them $7,200 to make sure? And so that is objective number one, is make sure that the client's in a good place for a year. When we do moves, we like having impact. But the second thing is if we hire a moving company, and most people think it's super hard, well, I'll move myself, I'll rent them a van. Getting a van, loading it up yourself, having your friends not show, and then doing it, you got to take
a lot of work and aggravation. Yeah.
And so when we do the move, it's do the move. Now, the second thing is anybody that touches a client on our team, such as the title company, such as movers, I want them to have an impact. Mm-hmm. So a lot of, I can already see it now, investors, they go, man, you got 5 hours, dude. You got to get this house moved in 5 hours. So I'm not paying more than 5 hours worth of work, you know, for the movers. I don't set that expectation. I'm the opposite. I tell the guys, look, if you're on this truck and you're moving one of my clients, you automatically get a tip. It's going to be added onto the bill for each one of you guys. So number two, and I tell them, guys, you know, if you're there, don't rush anything. Don't break anything. If grandma's there and you set up the dresser and the TV on the floor and she asks you to put the TV up, guys, go ahead, set the TV up, set the cable, hand her the remote, take care of the client.
Yeah,
I've never disputed a moving bill. And it's generally such a small percentage of what we get anyway. Mm-hmm. I just tell them, man, I don't care if it takes 12 hours. You make the customer happy, unbox stuff, whatever you need.
Yeah, so, that's awesome.
We take care of it. That's part of it. That's why we, you know, part of the reason we get referrals is the mindset and the place that we're at. We do all these different things.
Yeah. Well, like, you know, it sounds like you really go above and beyond for these people. And so they remember you, you know, what's that saying? People don't know how much you care until you show, I'm butchering it, but
people don't want to know what you know until they know you care.
There you go. There it is. Yeah. Okay, exactly. And so you've made these people feel a certain type of way that nobody else out there is doing. So this particular moving program, is this something you guys are doing after closing? Are you doing it before closing?
So it evolved. Initially, we started doing it to make sure that tenants would get out, you know, and that we knew they would move. But generally, sometimes we'll do it before, but generally it's like we like to close and then move them the next day. So that way I know that the deal's done. Mm-hmm. And then they move out in the next couple of days.
Okay.
But we do set everything up prior to that. I know that they have a place. If they're going to an apartment, it's already set. They've already got the key. You know, if they're moving stuff to storage, they've already gotten the storage. So I do set all that up to make sure everything goes smooth.
Okay. Aside from the moving program, is there anything else you guys are doing, or would you say that you're attributing a lot of the referral business you're getting from the thank you cards and from your moving program?
So it's the moving program, but it's also, I mean, we do estate sales. So we do 100% of the estate sale, and the clients get to keep 100% of the proceeds.
Yep.
So that's another one that really helps a lot of, you know, elderly people downsizing, things like that. We, you know, do shredding services. A lot of people, elderly clients, have kept their checkbooks from the 1970s all the way. You know, every check, because they didn't want to get rid of it, have file cabinets full of personal documents. And to them, you know, I've seen it where they're shredding it one page at a time. I'm like, oh my gosh. I said, don't worry about it. We'll take care of it. Are you serious? Yes, I'll have our truck come out. You can watch it and everything gets shredded and we'll take care of this whole file. Just put everything in the corner that you want to have shredded. And it'll be a huge pile. You take care of it.
Yeah.
So it's whatever they're needing. You know, we had one client. I remember we were there bidding against like two or three other investors, and they're walking around with their clipboards. And the nephew was sitting there. He said, hey, guys, we need 60 days for her to move. And I said, and I'm just talking to him. I didn't talk price. And, oh, yeah, everybody else, yeah, no problem. And I said, man. I said, you don't need 60 days. I'll give you 60 days just like they will. But they're going to evict her on day 60 if she doesn't find a place. And I even said to him, I was like, look, you won't even give her your number. You won't even give her your number and told me not to give it to her because you don't even want her calling because she's going to blow your phone up. She was a little bit different, I should say.
Yeah.
And I said, do you think she's really going to, you know, all of a sudden just go out, find a place and just get settled? And he just kind of looked at me. I said, let me find a place that she's taken care of for an entire year and where everything's paid for so she's okay and she's got time to adjust to some new bills and things like that. That's my focus. So they went with us. We went, found her a brand new mobile home. That's what she wanted to live in. Found the place she wanted. Paid cash. Had it delivered. Completely installed with the deck. Literally move-in ready. Had the movers do her entire move. And she was in there. We prepaid the lot rent for an entire year. And then we prepay half the lot rent for the next year. So that way it's a slight increase for 6 months. And then she could go to paying the full lot rent.
Yeah. Yeah. That's so great.
Yeah. So that's an example kind of the stuff that we do. We really do go above and beyond.
Yeah. So there's nothing that you won't do for the client. It's just a matter of asking questions, listening to them, figuring out what their pain points are, what their needs are, and you know, offer services that others won't. In order to get the deal done and to ultimately really help these people.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
We had one, she was on the fence about selling, wanted to be closer to the grandkids, but the move was kind of, you know, weighing on her. So we threw in the assisted move to get everything done. I said, look, we'll take care of all the costs and we'll also throw in an all expense paid trip for your family and the grandkids to go to Disney World.
Wow.
You know, because she wanted to spend like quality time before the kids grew, you know, so we threw that in there.
Yeah.
So yeah, any pain, anything I can do to impact their life, I'm there.
That's amazing, man. That's amazing. Are you, you know, have you just really kept this part of the business just super simple? Like, do you have Do you have a follow-up system in place? Like, let's say you go meet with these sellers and it's just a matter of, you know, what they want and their asking price is just not what you can pay. Are you essentially just moving on to the next one? Or because I'm putting myself in some of the shoes of the listener that, you know, they're asking, you know, if you're handling the acquisitions and the dispositions and the transaction coordination, there's a lot of moving parts to that, even with 2-3 deals a month. You know, how is it that you're able to kind of streamline your time so you're not working, you know, 10-12 hour days? Because I think for me, when I got started, I was wearing all the hats and I was just getting burned out because I was working 10-12 hour days doing, you know, sometimes more, doing all the different parts of the business.
It's so, I guess I've really simplified the parts of the business to where if I get a property like virtual wholesaling, you know, so, well, I got to see it, what are the repairs and I omit all that because it doesn't matter what I think the property's worth. It doesn't matter what I think the repairs are. At the end of the day, it matters what the buyer thinks it's worth and what the buyer thinks the repairs are. And so based off of that, what he thinks, he's going to make an offer on the property, mm-hmm. right? So if I get a property, I can shoot a text. Hey, Frankie, I got one. Well, how much you want for it? Give me your best price.
Yeah.
And I take offers that way. Okay. So that eliminates a lot of me of figuring out what repairs are and those type of things. Now I do have certain buyers that I've built relationships with and things like that. I don't just burn them out. You know, if they go on 3 or 4 properties or whatever and they don't get one, they're at the top of the list. Even if I have to make less, if I get a higher offer and he's due for one, I'll take the discount and take care of them. You know, so I take care of the buyers on that sense. As far as the services, with the exception of the estate sale, it's literally a phone call. So the movers we've had for 5-6 years, really tight relationship with them. They'll just literally bill us, you know, and we pay it. So for moves, it's a phone call. Shredding service, same thing. It's a phone call. As far as like other stuff, title, I mean, I take care of the title company. So, you know, I go above and beyond. It's when I talk to the title company, that's your responsibility. That doesn't come out of my mouth. It's like, guys, what do you need? What do you need to get this thing closed? Yeah. Well, you know, we need this, I'm on it. You know, if an invoice gets missed, I got it. Boom, I'll cover it. I'm there to make their job 10 times easier. And so in return, they make my job 10 times easier.
That's fantastic. Will, that's awesome, man. So, hey, where can, you know, I know one of the services that you and Larry offer is through Skip Genie. So if people want to go out there, they want to skip trace, best place, skipgenie.com?
Skipgenie.com, yep.
Okay, beautiful. And so with Skip Genie, like how does the process of, do you have to like go through a certain process to get approved for an account? Is it kind of like some of the other Skip Trace services out there? Or I guess if you could just tell me a little bit about what that looks like.
You literally just kind of go there. You set up an account and that's over my, I'm never in the office, so I don't know all the systems that they have. But basically you can go to the site. I think that you can do a demo, but you just literally log in, you get a membership, and then you can literally almost instantaneously start skipping.
Okay, great. Do you know if you guys offer like a batching service where you can do it in bulk, or is this more like for a one-off?
It's they do some batching. I think the majority of the clients are, I say mom and pop, people that, because it comes with a dashboard. So you can actually, you know, drive for dollars and then look up what you're looking for.
Okay.
And doing research. You can do batch and submit lists and then they come back. So it does do both. It does
okay. Do both. Very cool, man. Well, hey, brother, I really appreciate, this has been a very different show and I think it's going to be eye-popping for a lot of people that, you know, are always like you said, charge, pushing and growing. I want to do more. I want to make more. I want to build a team. I want to, you know, but with that sometimes can come complexity and, you know, sometimes happiness and a lack of fulfillment comes in the process. And you got to make sure that you protect that at all costs, because otherwise what's the point?
It's asking the right, you know, the power of your questions, you know, determine a lot more.
Yeah.
It's not, how do I do more, make more? How do I do more while working less?
And so that's
the answer.
Yeah, I think it's Tony Robbins that's well known for saying that the power of your questions can determine the quality of your life.
That's it.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yep. So, man, it's funny. So I helped, you helped me out on one of these quotes that I couldn't recall and I just returned the favor. I love it, man.
Powerful stuff.
Yeah, buddy. Well, thank you for being so open and transparent. Aside from skipgenie.com, is there any other place you'd want people to connect with you?
No, strictly there. I mean, I stay in my lane. If somebody ever needs a mastermind, I guess, or really dive into some of these things to the 80-20, I mean, they can reach out to me, Will at 123SoldFast. If they need some help with that or hit any roadblocks, I'd be glad to help them with that. So
very cool, man. Very cool. Yeah. Well, hey, Will, man, keep doing your thing. I know you and I will be connecting here in about a week and a half and so. And so, man, anything else you need, you let me know. And I really appreciate everybody else tuning in to this particular episode. As always, we'll have the link to skipgenie.com in the show notes page, as well as Will's email. And hopefully this, this has been a different kind of show as far as the content. And I think it's been super, super insightful and valuable. Because bigger is not always better, better is better. And I think whatever vision you have for your life and what you want that to look like is the answer to what direction you should go for your business. So, Will, again, man, thanks for being on, buddy. I appreciate it.
Awesome, man. I'll talk to you soon. Thanks for having me.
We'll talk. Take care, everybody. Look forward to connecting on the next one.
That's all for this episode of the Flip Empire Show. But we have you covered with even more expertise and resources on our website. Text EMPIRE to 67076 or head over to flipempire.com to join the newsletter and gain free instant access to our video module training course called 5 Ways to Scale Your Real Estate Wholesaling Business to 6 Figures in 6 Months or Less. For more interviews, strategies, and insights for the smart real estate investor, we'll catch you next time here on the Flip Empire Show.